After you hear the following purgatory story, you may never pray for the living again. Now, if I were to give you $100 and show you 100 different homeless people and tell you, help them, you would have to make a choice. Because of your limited resources, you would have to figure out who's the person that will be helped the most by this $100. You can't, just because you can imagine it, help every single person that's there. You're limited. You only have $100. We understand this in physically helping people. When it comes to spiritually helping people, we don't understand this. We think just because we can imagine praying for the whole world, that we can help the whole world by our prayers. And it's not that simple, because if it was that simple, we would just say the following prayer. Lord Jesus, please help every person, every sick person, heal them, and every sinner, please convert them from now until the end of time. Amen. And we would never have to pray again. But is that how it is? No, it's not. It's not that simple. There are limiting factors also in the spiritual world that we need to be aware of. The first one that you need to be aware of is time. You do not have all the time in the world. You have a limited time to pray. The second thing that limits you is your holiness. The holier you are, the more effective you are in effecting change through your prayer. A simple holiness formula that we can use is all the decisions you've made for God minus your sins equals your holiness. So for instance, the Blessed Mother, we can add up all the decisions she made for God minus her sins, which would be zero, equals an incredible amount of holiness. The more holiness you have, the more a single prayer of yours is more powerful in helping other people. The less holy you are, you understand it. So your holiness limits your spiritual power. The third thing that is limiting is the degree of fervency with which you pray. So if you're incredibly holy and you pray with more fervor, that prayer is more efficacious. If you pray with less fervor, that prayer is less efficacious. So the way in which you pray at any given moment affects and limits your ability to help another person. A fourth limiting factor is the person or the subject that you're praying for, its ability to receive the grace. So if you have all the time in the world, and you're incredibly holy, and you pray unbelievably fervently, but the person that you're praying for simply does not want to accept God's grace, that limits and puts a limiting factor in the spiritual world. Now, obviously, the reason why people are confused is because God is not a limiting factor. He's infinite. He could do whatever he wants. But since he chooses to work with limited creatures, you and I, we're the limiting factor, and so we need to understand that. Now that you understand this, listen to this purgatory story. A serious question once arose between two distinguished religious of the order of preachers, Bertrand and Benedict. Their discussion concerned a matter of great importance. Which is more pleasing to God and more beneficial to our own souls, to offer our prayers and good works for the conversion of sinners, or to offer them for the relief of souls in purgatory? Bertrand, whose heart burnt with zeal for the salvation of sinners, maintained the first position. He frequently offered the holy sacrifice of the Mass, long hours of prayer, and voluntary penances for those still living apart from God's grace. He argued, those who remain in mortal sin are in the greatest imaginable danger. They stand upon the edge of eternal ruin. At every moment, they are exposed to the assaults of the evil spirits, who seek to deprive them forever of heaven and draw them into the everlasting torments of hell. Whoever truly understands the value of a single immortal soul cannot remain indifferent while that soul is in peril. The eternal Word himself descended from heaven and embraced the sufferings of the cross to redeem sinners. By his own example, he teaches us the incomparable worth of every human soul. There is no more work like the work of God himself than cooperating in the salvation of sinners. Saint Dionysius teaches that among divine works, the most divine is to cooperate in bringing souls to salvation, delivering them from the power of the enemy, and leading them back to their loving Creator. To abandon a soul for Christ, for whom Christ shed his precious blood, is in a certain sense to neglect the very fruit of the redemption. Having presented these arguments, Bertrand turned his attention to the holy souls. The souls in purgatory, he continued, are no longer in danger of being lost. Their salvation is secure. Although they endure terrible sufferings, they already possess the certainty of eternal happiness. They are detained only until the debt of divine justice has been satisfied. Soon they will enter the glorious freedom of the children of God. How different is the condition of the sinner? He remains an enemy of God, and surely no misery is greater or more deserving of our compassion than separation from the one for whom we were created. These arguments carried considerable weight. Are you convinced to go the path of Bertrand to say, no, pray for sinners, forget the souls in purgatory, they're fine? Yet Benedict, whose life had been devoted to assisting the holy souls, answered with equal conviction. He replied, the sinner is held only by the chains of his own choosing. At any moment he may cooperate with God's grace, repent, and break those chains. The souls in purgatory, however, are held against their will. Bound by divine justice, they can do nothing to shorten their own purification. They wait entirely upon the charity of the church on earth. They suffer unspeakable torments and possess no earthly means of helping themselves. If they still had a voice at all, it's only to repeat the cry of holy Job, have pity on me, have pity on me, at least you, my friends, for the hand of the Lord has touched me. Benedict then proposed a simple comparison. Suppose, he said, two beggars stood before you. One was strong, healthy, and fully capable of earning his own livelihood, but preferred idleness and dependence upon others. The second was crippled, unable to work or walk, completely incapable of helping himself, and suffering intense pain. Which of these two would naturally awaken your deepest compassion? Which would you hasten to assist? The answer is obvious. So it is, Benedict continued, with the holy souls. They have sincerely repented of every sin. They love God perfectly. They're already his friends and his beloved children. Their only remaining burden is the debt of temporal punishment that divine justice still requires. If true charity seeks first those whom God himself most tenderly loves, should we not hasten to relieve these souls who can no longer help themselves? Despite Benedict's persuasive arguments, Bertrand remained unconvinced. God, however, permitted an extraordinary event to settle the matter. One night, as Bertrand was making his way to the choir to chant the divine office with his brethren, he suddenly found himself confronted by a terrifying apparition. Before him stood a soul in purgatory, appearing in a form so burdened with suffering that it seemed crushed beneath an immense and dreadful weight. Drawing near with mournful cries, the suffering soul laid that crushing burden upon Bertrand himself. In that instant, he experienced, as far as humanly possible, something of the anguish endured by the holy souls. The weight was unbearable. His heart was overwhelmed with compassion. Only then did he fully understand how little attention he had given to those who depended entirely upon the charity of the faithful. The following morning, he approached the altar with tears in his eyes, offering the holy sacrifice of the Mass for the souls in purgatory. He resolved from that day forward never to neglect them again. From that time until the end of his life, he faithfully united prayers, sacrifices, and acts of charity to obtain relief for the faithful departed. Thus, by a singular grace, God transformed his zeal for sinners into a broader charity that embraced both the living and the dead. Now, in this particular story, he turns into someone who prays for both the living and the dead. They are not mutually exclusive. However, let me suggest to you that the reason you are watching this video up until this point is because God wants you to dedicate your whole life only to praying for the souls in purgatory. Let me give you a few arguments why. First of all, most people, certainly non-Catholic Christians and many Catholics, never pray for the souls in purgatory. So they're completely forgotten. They're at the very least praying for themselves, their family, and for sinners. So sinners aren't as forgotten as the souls in purgatory. So there are very few people comparatively praying for the souls in purgatory. And let me suggest to you that there is an incredible amount of souls in purgatory. So one, because they are forgotten, because there are so many, because there are so few people that pray exclusively for the souls in purgatory, God wants you to be one of them. Now, other reasons are they suffer incredibly more than sinners do. They are an incredible, incredible torments. If you don't believe me, ask God to let you suffer that pain. In fact, let me read to you a comment of someone that did. Someone asked for purgatory on earth, and let me share with you what they experienced. This is what they went through. Well, I'll never forget it. After talking to you 3 years ago, and you suggested that I asked for purgatory in earth, and I did ask for it. Pretty much immediately, I lost my health. I lost my home in a fire. I lost many of my cats in the fire. I lost my parents within 6 weeks of each other, and I'm living in a hotel for the past 3 months. So yeah, really be careful what you ask for and make sure you're damn prepared for it, because you will get it. And honestly, I held a grudge against you. I have to admit that, and I have forgiven you, and I know that God allowed this for very good reasons. I can't say for sure that you're the reason that all this happened to me, but it's just kind of ironic. But don't worry, I still love you, and you're doing great work. Later on, he says, it has been 3 years of brutal hell, but I want to tell you that it has taught me who God is, what my sufferings really mean, and that I am not alone at all. It has taught me to love God with all my soul, heart, and strength, and it has brought me to a higher level of sanctity. Holiness has completely changed me and made me more humble. So I really have to thank you, because I had never met you or talked to you on the many occasions we did talk, I would still be stuck in a really bad place spiritually. So that person asked for purgatory on earth so you don't have to, and you hear the incredible torments and sufferings that they went through. So the souls in purgatory are in a much greater need than sinners, and they're absolutely forgotten. And this is why God wants you to completely forget about the living. Just pray for the dead. Now you think, what about me and my family and all our needs and all the needs of the world? This is how it works. You pray for the souls in purgatory, and then you tell the souls in purgatory, hey, y'all, pray for all of these things. They're going to do a much better job of praying for you. And it's going to be different, because it's not because they're saints, but because of their gratitude for what you've done. That's going to give them unbelievable power to intercede for whatever problems you would be praying for. If you completely dedicate yourself to praying for the souls in purgatory, your prayers will be incredibly more effective, because the recipients of those prayers are so much more open. Do you remember all the limiting factors? Well, if you're an average person, of average holiness, with average time, and you pray your prayers average, but you're praying for people that are unbelievably receptive to the graces that you're obtaining, do you see how that lifts your limitedness? It erases it completely. You become nearly unlimited in your ability to help people. Look at this channel. I'm just an average person, an average holiness, average fervency. But because of this channel, I'm helping millions of people, millions, because the receptivity on the souls in purgatory is so near infinite. It's near the receptivity of God, because they are in so much pain. That's why you should do it. So you will completely quadruple your prayer power by this factor. You've eliminated it. You're no longer praying for children that don't care, children that don't want the prayers, or people that are just ungrateful and don't deserve the prayers anyway. You're praying for people that deserve the prayers. They're completely open. They're suffering tremendously, and God wants that prayer answered. That's the other thing. Sometimes when we pray for certain things, God doesn't want it granted to you because it's not good for you, whereas it's always good to pray for the souls in purgatory. And whatever needs you have, they will resolve. I hardly pray for any of living people around me, ever. Never. I never pray for anything around me. If you're alive, I don't pray for you. What I do is I say, holy souls, help my kids. Holy souls, help my wife. Holy souls, help my channel. Holy souls, help me. That's how I pray. I ask them, and then I pray for them. And look at my life. It's incredible. I have an incredible life. I travel. I have all these things. I have tons of work. My channels are growing. My wife loves me. I love my kids. I have incredible kids. They could be better. You know, I could be better. All these things. But it's an incredible life. And I'm not doing an inch or a pound of work in praying for the living. Praying only for the dead. 100% for them. And then they do 100% for me. That's how it works. And if you listen to me, if you listen to me right now, test it. Test it for 30 days. For 30 days, I want you to stop praying for the living. Only pray for the dead. And then you ask the dead, whatever you need, you ask them to help you. I promise you, after 30 days, you're going to come back and you're going to leave a comment on this video. And you're going to say, Alvaro, you changed my life, because now my prayers are actually being answered. And I see all these incredible things happening to me that I'm not even asking for. I'm getting jobs. I'm getting more love for my wife or my husband. They're all converting. Everything around me is changing me. And I haven't prayed for it. And you're going to say, it's because the souls in purgatory are praying for me. Listen to me. If you're listening still at 15 minutes in, it's because God wants you to love exclusively the souls in purgatory, because they are incredibly forgotten and incredible pain. And God wants to hear their prayer. He wants them out of purgatory through your prayers. Please, I beg you, on behalf of the souls in purgatory, listen to me, and you will thank me in 30 days. And then you go tell someone else. You either show them this video or tell them everything I told you, and they will be convinced. And they will pray for the souls of purgatory exclusively, and your life and that person's life will be transformed. The end. Amen. I love you, but Jesus and Mary love you more. And this is what they want you to do. If this video has helped you in any way, please share it. Please subscribe and like all that stuff and support the channel through Buy Me a Coffee. God bless you. I'll see you in the next one.